Any word on a manager? The five words a lot of us have heard more than any other over the last few weeks. And of course, also the working title for this latest Mayo News football podcast, as well as the theme behind it, as we take another look at where things stand at the moment in a process that really would rival the TV show Succession for plot lines and for the way it's captured the public interest, especially here in Mayo, obviously, but also in a lot of other football pockets around the country. And joining me to chat about the state of play in the Mayo Senior Football Manager appointment process, to give it its full title, are Colm Keyes of the Irish Independent and Mayo News columnist Billy Joe Padden, two men with their fingers on the pulse. Lads, good evening, and thanks for togging out for the podcast again.
Hey, Mike.
No problem, Mike.
Oh, how are you?
Yeah, good, Colm. Mike, I don't know that, you know I'm a big fan of Succession, and I think I've told you before that practically every character in Succession is deplorable and you couldn't like them, but it's great viewing all the same. I think you're being very harsh on the candidates for the Mayo job when you're saying there's no likability there. I couldn't agree with that.
But I knew I wasn't going to get away with another Game of Thrones analogy. At this stage, I think everyone who listens to the podcast knows I'm plowing through. I'm halfway through Series 8. I'm nearly there. But Colm, I was reading your piece in the Indo today, and it jumped out at me. 6 weeks since Mayo exited the Championship. 6 weeks since James Horan stepped away, as he put it, as Mayo manager. 6 weeks since the whole county down here started asking the question, any word on a Mayo manager? Can we start here, maybe? Are the executive officers of the county board, are they doing the right thing by following this detailed, streamlined appointment process, taking their time, following this step-by-step approach to picking the new manager? Or is Philly McMahon right when he wrote in the Indo last Saturday, it's becoming a bit of a circus down in Mayo?
Well, if it is, Mike, becoming a bit of a circus, it's because it is taking so long. Obviously, they took some time after the waited until after the minor final, and that was set out that nothing would be done until the minor final. But that was a very short time after James Horan stepped down. And that creates a very large vacuum that a county like Mayo, with its fervent support and all the component parts in it, you leave a vacuum like that, and you're going to have a lot of speculation, a lot of talk, and really, they may be doing and following it rigorously, the process and whatever it is, but they really would be better off getting this over and done with much quicker than the speed it's moving along at, in my view, because when you leave it out there for so long, there's a lot more said about it, there's a lot more thought about it, there's a lot more conspiracy theories about it. A couple of examples. Brian Cody stepped down, the longest-serving manager. And you would think one of the most difficult appointments for any county ever to fill. Demand a lot of thought, even for those who are, you know, thinking about succession, to use that word again. But you would think that would be a long process, that they would really mind their steps with that. As it happened, it took 12 days, and Derek Ling is in. There were other candidates, potentially, but Ling is the one that the county board had in mind, obviously, as All-Ireland under-20 manager and a former Cody selector. And they went after him and they got him. He was able to arrange it with work and everything else. And he's the new Kilkenny manager 12 days after Cody formally steps down. If you look at it in Cork, Kieran Kingston, now that's ongoing. Obviously, Cork are out of in the hurling. I'm talking about Cork are out for some time. Kieran Kingston flags he's not going forward. And the following night, that's a Sunday, the following night, Pat Ryan is in as manager. You can look at Tipperary Hurling, Liam Cahill. Colin Bonner is, to use that phrase, relieved of his duties on the Thursday night. Cahill has gone from Waterford on the Friday, and he's in on the Monday. Even in Meath, the process has moved along and went quicker than I would have thought. went quicker than I would have thought now, and even that somewhat have felt with slow. But Colm O'Rourke is appointed over 2 weeks ago at this stage. So Mayo, it's 6 weeks and it's really only getting going now. You know, the interviews are next week. Obviously, it's holiday time and, you know, people involved are volunteers and all of that. But they probably could have confined it or pruned it back to a four-week thing, 5 weeks at most. And, it, you know, there probably should be a new Mayo manager in place by now, I would think anyway. But look, they said before the club championships, that's probably the right time. That's probably the right time to have this in place. But just for the smoothness of the process and to avoid people describing it as a circus, because really there won't be too many more talking points in the GA world over the next couple of weeks than this. And it is Mayo. And I did mention today, it's a very healthy sign that people do talk about it. And it's an even healthier sign that there's more candidates than even there was for Kerry last year. But only in Kerry and Mayo, to my mind, would you have so much out there in the public domain about a succession race as you do here. It's Kerry and Mayo, and really everybody else can manage to keep a lid on things. You look up on Donegal. I don't think there's any candidates in Donegal yet. And, you know, you have a figure like Jim McGuinness, who's a possibility, although I imagine he won't opt in. But, you know, that's not an object of great interest just yet, and won't reach these levels.
I blame these pesky journalists, you know, digging around and always getting all the stuff into the public domain. No, I think Colm is 100% right in what he's saying, but I'm still not that concerned. I think I'd have more concern if you were in a situation where you didn't have viable, well-qualified candidates making themselves available for the job. And I think what we know that there are options there for whatever selection committee will be put in place, and when they get to the stage where they'll be doing the interviews, you know, they'll go through their criteria, they'll follow the protocol, and hopefully the best candidate and the person that interviews best and provides the best vision for Mayo is the one that's selected to lead Mayo into the winter and beyond. And I still think there's time for that. But I think maybe Colm makes a good point. It would be ideal to have that in place in advance of the club championships.
Just before I drill down a bit into the detail in terms of what we know about this management appointment committee and the interview panel, I suppose it is worth pointing out as well, though, Billy Joe, and I did think of this in the wake of reading that Philly McMahon piece at the weekend. Like, there is a reason why this operations manual was put together in the first place under the former chairman, Liam Moffat, and why there's a page in there, I think it's called Management Appointment Policy Document, that breaks down the process of appointing a Mayo manager, be it minor, under 20, senior football, senior hurling, whatever it is, into these really minute steps. It's because, as Edwin outlined in a really good piece a few weeks ago in the Mayo News, you go back over the last 30 or 40 years, like, the history of Mayo GAA is littered with controversies, messy departures, messy arrivals, maybe a lot of questions hanging in the air around particular appointments or how particular management's finished up. I know the Mickey Moran one springs to mind at the end of the 06 season. So while it is taking, let's be honest, a little longer than I think most people would like, there is a good reason why there is a document there that talks about informing the candidates of what they need to bring to presentation, the kind of people or the different categories of people that will be represented on the interview panel, the fact that it will be a 10-minute PowerPoint presentation followed by your competency-based interview. It is quite heavy in places, but can you see the logic behind or the thinking behind the process, as opposed to, as Colm says, the overnight almost appointments in the likes of Cork, Kilkenny, Tip and Meath pretty quick as well?
Yeah, well, maybe with other counties there wasn't there wasn't as many candidates making themselves available for the job, and that maybe that was the reason they acted so quickly. I think that you're 100% right. I think that there was a need for a protocol or a roadmap to be put in place, and to set out the sort of people that needed to be involved in this process. I think the fact that it is so transparent now, and that we know, you know, the makeup of it, and who the type of people that are meant to be involved in the panel, that maybe nearly makes it more difficult for the people to fulfill their roles in the process of interviewing managers, and might put people off actually putting their hand up and making themselves available, because, you know, it might get out that who those people are that are on these panels. At some stage, and you know that might be something that people just don't want to put their hands up for. But I to answer your first question, yes, it is necessary. I think having those measures in place is absolutely necessary to ensure that things are done in an appropriate manner, that there's no underhand stuff, that every candidate and all the county board and the delegates know what process is in place and what everyone has to do and what is expected of them when they go to interview, and then to be informed of how they've done, basically in the right way. So I think it is necessary. Probably wish it wasn't so. It wasn't basically as prominent as it is in the public domain at the minute, and that just the county board and the committees that they put together could just go about their business. But that's the interest in Mayo football, and as Colin mentioned a couple of moments ago, in general that's a good thing, because, you know, we're very, very interested in it.
The deadline for nominations, acceptance of nominations, wasn't it last Friday week? 6 o'clock last Friday week. So it'll be a further 2 weeks by the time the interviews even start. And who knows, there might be a candidate or two may not just be available next week. So that'd be my point, that it's just the process is fine if that's the way they're following the process. It's more the timeline. Like, you can take your time, but you could have started interviews last week and nearly concluded them pretty much this week if you liked. I mean, you have word on the interview committee, Mike. That's only emerging now. That could have been in place by last Friday week at 6 o'clock. That's the point I would make, that there's one thing following a protocol and taking your time, but sometimes you can take too much time over it too and leave a vacuum there. And that's why people will refer to it as a circus, because ultimately it's not really. I mean, as Billy Joe points out, there are a lot of good candidates there and a lot of good people in around it as well. So there's a lot to decide. And I would imagine in the confines of an interview room for all four prospective candidates, that's where the real detail will come out and a picture will emerge.
Yeah, you mentioned the update there. And just before I walk through that, just as you were talking there, Colm, I think it's probably worth bearing in mind as well, like Seamus Toohey was only appointed as chairman last December. This is his first time to oversee such a high profile appointment. I would imagine that's another factor why this process is you know, moving along at a steady pace as opposed to a quick pace. I know you've probably chairman all across the country or in some counties with a lot of experience. You know, they've done this before. They mightn't have the same spotlight on them as Mayo have. So I'd imagine that could be a factor as well. And just something else, I know it's been talked about a bit in the last week. This process has been used before as well. It was used to appoint Sean Dean as the Mayo under-17 manager in 2021. It was used when Maurice Sheridan ended up being appointed as the Mayo under-20 manager as well. So it has been road tested, as it were. But in today's Mayo News, we did quite a bit of a digging and a bit of research yesterday. There had been speculation over the weekend that an interview committee had been formed and that they were all set to put the four candidates through their paces. But it turns out that's not quite the case. What has been formed is what the Mayo GAA officers are calling a management appointment committee. Now, it's made up of the chairman, Seamus Toohey, the assistant secretary, Ronan Curran, the treasurer, Valerie Murphy, the chairman of the South Mayo board, Mike King. There's a human resources professional, Sean Silk from Galway. He's an All-Ireland hurling medal winner, as it turns out, with Galway. And Pat O'Donnell, he's the former CEO of Allergan in Westport, and he's a current member of the Corgan Mayo fundraising committee. Now, that's six people in total, and the intention is that a former Mayo footballer will also be added to that committee to make it seven. Now, finding that ex-player is proving difficult, we're led to believe, because there is a potential conflict of interest with, I think, probably all four of the candidates. So they may have played under them, they may have played with them, they may have been club mates and so on and so forth. So identifying that former Mayo footballer and then persuading them to sit on the committee is proving easier said than done. But I'm led to believe that will happen. And that is one of the lines in there in that management appointment document. But then what we're being told is that from those seven, five will be chosen to make up the interview panel with, as Cullum said, the interviews to be held next week. Cullum, when you hear that, all of that, what do you make of it? Is that all fine? Does that sound like it's feasible? It's workable from your point of view?
Mike, it sounds like two sides of the same coin with regard to what's out there and with regard to what the intention is. So there are already six names out there and one will be added and two will then be subtracted. What's the function of those two? I wouldn't be too clear on that. If they're not all in listening to what the candidates have to say, well then, what is their role really? I'm not quite sure. If you have seven, but only five will be conducting the interviews, did I hear you right in saying that?
Yeah, that's right. The line that was given to us yesterday, that basically those seven will oversee the process and then five will actually physically sit in the room and be involved in the interviews.
The function of that, I wouldn't be too clear on what the two that are left outside the room, what value, how can they oversee a process when they haven't heard the detail of the candidate? So really, from that point of view, I'm a little bit bemused by that. But obviously, that's in the manual and someone has thought that through. I haven't seen the manual, so I'm not altogether clear on those steps, I have to say. It sounds a little bit unwieldy. I would have thought maybe if you're part of a seven-man committee that, you know, you would, and that seems a lot for an interview committee. I mean, one man going in and sitting in front of seven, it's not really ideal either. But look, there, that's a small detail, small print. I think finding a player will be hard for the reasons that you set out. There's a lot of contact. You don't often hear of past players sitting on interview committees. Nice objective to have, but it's not always practical, and a little bit like trying to get former players to go and referee. Don't think they really want to sit on a committee when they are maybe not so far removed from the whole situation themselves, maybe still involved at a management level in clubs and the level of contact. And, you know, that's why there is a distinction between playing and administrative GAA communities in some respects, in that they really do take different paths and they don't always cross either. So not something you will often hear, a past player being so directly involved, and they'll do well to get one, as you set out, and you set out the reasons why.
Billy Joe, how do you feel about that prospect of a former Mayo footballer being involved? Like, do you think that's important, or do you think, as Cullum says, important or not, it's going to prove difficult? And I'm asking you here as a former Mayo footballer.
I honestly think it is important, but I'm not, in some parts, I'm not. It's for the skill set or the experience that they would have when you take of what that room would be put together. You know, you don't know, like, and or the seven people, the five people, whatever it is, there's no guarantee that of those other people on the interview board that they'll have experience being at every training session, every meeting involved in an inter-county setup. And I think that's important, because that's the bulk of what this job will be for the person that gets it in terms of being manager. And I think an ex-player has a unique perspective on that. I can understand why it'll be difficult, because of the number of candidates, the time span of the candidates in terms of when they were involved with Mayo teams previously, maybe as players or as coaches. But I'm not, I know the document may say it has to be a Mayo player, but somebody that has that experience of being in an inter-county setup, over a full year or years, and the challenges that that presents, mightn't necessarily have to be a Mayo player. Somebody that has that experience can ask those relevant questions, can I suppose try to decipher what is the vision for the team that this manager is trying to put out there. You know, how are you going to manage your training sessions? All those things are important to me in terms of who will be the next Mayo manager. And I think a player has a unique perspective on that. Now, an ex-coach that maybe has no interest in coaching anymore or has retired from that thing probably has, you know, good experience in that regard as well. I'm thinking of it more from the person that has lived that life, you know, whatever it is, Tuesday, Thursday, gym sessions, weekends, and knows that toll and the things that you need to do in terms to put a good training week together in an inter-county squad. So I think that's important.
Colm, I know you said it's unusual, but the more I think about it, is it not almost a no-brainer to have a former inter-county player on the interview panel? Because as Billy Joe says, they're the one person in the room who can ask the really pertinent questions, the football questions in this instance, that, you know, will get you to the nub of the point here. They would have, as Billy Joe said, the skill set, the knowledge to ask questions that maybe would put, not so much under pressure, but they would maybe bring out the best in a Ray Dempsey, a Kevin McStay, a Mike Solon, or a Declan Shaw.
Oh, obviously, Mike, but that's only one side of it. It's actually getting someone to sit down who wants that. Very few ex-players, I think, would actually want to be in that room and so closely involved in a decision like that. They tend to steer clear of stuff like that and see that as an administrative function only. I think that's the point. It will be very, very difficult. You don't see it too often because there's probably a lot of rejections around it. So now you could also, you know, you will also have some past players maybe a bit more distant. I don't know how recent you would think it would be ideal. I mean, you're talking last decade or you're talking the last two decades. Sometimes there'd be officials there who were past players in that regard. But you're obviously referencing maybe someone to ask those questions. Those particular questions would be last decade. That would be very much in tune with the modern game.
I'll be honest, Colm, I'm looking at my laptop screen here and I'm looking at the perfect candidate. I cannot understand why Billy Joe is not putting his hand up. Get in there, Billy Joe.
I've enough trouble trying to answer queries maybe about the Mayo News column, never mind about any other decisions or opinions that I might have down the road. So yeah, no, I think there's enough there. But I look, Colm's right. It's not everyone that would put themselves forward to that. I'm pretty sure that there's been a lot of phone calls made trying to get somebody on board that is willing to perform that role, but I do think they should persist with it. I think it is important. But as I said, it could be somebody that's, you know, involved in coaching, that's no interest in the job. You may in future have to open it up to just experience people outside the county. I don't know, that might be unpalatable for some. In some ways I think that if you had some neutrality coming into it, you have no connections, and it might be easier to find somebody to do it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Colm, another question that popped into my head, or maybe it's popped into a WhatsApp group and I'm just going to claim credit for it, but I'd love to get your thoughts. Do you think any of the 2022 Mayo senior panel will be asked for their thoughts or their opinions ahead of these interviews, or should they be asked for their thoughts or their opinions?
Yeah, I do think they should be asked. I think that'd be the function of probably the chairman of Mayo to get a sense of what the dressing room is thinking. I think that would be good practice from their behalf. You cannot marginalise the people who will be directly under the influence of the new management. I don't think you'd be asking directly which candidate do you want. That's not the question you'd be asking. You'd say, what do you want from it? What's your vision of what's next for Mayo? I think that would be pretty good practice, all right, for any management. So from that point of view, I think it would be good sense maybe to ask. I'm sure lots of teams have leadership groups. Last year's leadership group, or captain certainly, and vice captain, and I think there was a couple of vice captains actually last year, wasn't there, in Mayo? So there was a captain and two vice captains, something like that. You know, harm to pull some or some representatives of them together and just get a sense of I don't think any playing group there would say we actually want candidate A, B, C, or D. I don't think that would fit for them either. Certainly not in those discussions. Maybe there are back channels where they make their views known, but I couldn't actually see the outgoing Mayo squad getting together and saying we want this candidate or we want that candidate. But I'm pretty sure they would certainly present a shape of what they'd like to see over the next couple of years, 2 or 3 years or whatever it's going to be. So yeah, I think it would be a good idea just to give them some stakeholding.
Yeah, I think as well that I think if you put yourself in that position, if you're a member of the squad, I think a lot of that, and I agree with Colin, I think a lot of that would be about hopefully the good relations between senior players, I suppose the leadership group on the current Mayo squad, players that Mayo are going to rely on next year, and keep people in the county board. You know, they're people that were meeting each other regularly over the last year at training sessions, at games. There's obviously relationships built up there. There should be some level of trust and understanding between them. And I think it may be useful for county board members just to gauge some of those thoughts that some of those senior players would have. But I wouldn't see their role going beyond that, to be honest. I don't think it'd be appropriate for it to go beyond that.
Billy Joe, you talked us through what the typical inter-county player looks for in a new manager in your column in the paper today. Can you maybe give us a flavour of what you wrote and just see what Colm thinks? I know you made the point that communication for you is the bedrock of everything else. Everything else almost flows from there.
Well, yes. Like if you put yourself as a candidate now, you know, it's about firstly being able to communicate your vision and your plan for the Mayo football team in this interview process. And then if you're selected, you know, you have to be able to communicate that vision, that plan to the squad as effectively and as quickly and clearly as you possibly can, because I think, you know, first impressions matter in those situations. When you're a coach, you can lose the dressing room early, and the heavy lifting in the first 6 or 8 weeks of an inter-county management reign will be on the focal point, on the manager themselves, by putting in the place. There's a lot of talk about backroom teams and who's got this guy involved or somebody else, and I think it's over-egged in my opinion, because to me the most important fella always will be the one the buck stops with, and I think that that's a key aspect of it, being able to communicate your plan, have your plan set out. If you're thinking about being an inter-county manager, you should have been thinking about this for not the last 4 weeks when you put in your application, but for the last 4 years. And so you should have an idea about what you've wanted to do, who you want in the backroom team, and being able to communicate to your players your vision, get them on board. Not only that, be able to communicate the role of each member of your backroom team. You know, be able to empower those people to say, well, you've responsibility for this, you've responsibility for that. But at the end, we're all working towards installing this type of game plan to play this brand of football, because this suits the type of players that we produce in this county. And I think that's a key aspect of it. And as a player, you want then that person to be able to improve you individually, but then to have that plan to improve you as a team, to have that tactical base, so you have the best opportunity to win as many games as possible. And I suppose that what I see would be the starting point for any inter-county manager.
Colin, would you agree with Billy Joe's synopsis there or assessment that basically beginning with the interview, communication is going to be the sword by which they live or die?
I think it's one element of it, Mike. It's one big element, obviously. That's for sure. But to put across a very positive veneer, I think is always a help too for a new manager to get off on the right footing, to create a really positive note. Whoever does that, obviously in terms of the interview, but also in the projection to the players. You know, Mayo are coming off the back of an 8-point defeat to Kerry. Obviously, things didn't go well from injury point of view. But a new manager comes in and he has to be really, really positive, really positive. There has been some horror stories of managers coming in and just getting off on the wrong note completely nearly from day one. Famously or infamously, Mickey Whelan, who went on to do great things subsequently, got off on the wrong note with the Dublin team after they won the All-Ireland final going back to 1995. And he was almost behind because of his lack of positivity towards that group from day one. He was behind. He never recovered from it. And obviously he came back in 2011 as coach, and they couldn't speak highly enough of them. So that's important. And there's been a few more cases of that too. To be very, very positive. And as Billy Joe says, to set out a clear vision of what the manager thinks they can achieve and even when they can achieve it. That's important too, because some managers, you know, will leave it, they won't timeline it. And it's important to set a timeline for this as well, I think, for what boxes can be ticked and when as well, because, That keeps it nice and tight about where they're going to. So yeah, communication about vision, but also a bit of fun too. I mean, there has to be a bit of fun in inter-county games too. I mean, it can't all be extremely serious. I know they work hard in that, but and put so much time into it. But I think a manager that can create a bit of that, certainly coming in as well to lighten the mood. And I think, you know, Jack O'Connor was very relaxed around Mayo this year. You know, I really did think he was a different man this year all around. And that probably helped the team. I mean, Jack was an intense figure in 2004 to 2006. And even when he came in a little bit less, more relaxed from 09, as I remember him. But this year, you know, he was good to deal with. From our point of view, I'm pretty sure he was good to deal with from the players' point of view and all of that. And, you know, he'd say himself he was more relaxed. So, you know, that's something to bear in mind too, that, you know, there's no more pressurised job than Kerry, and there was certainly no more pressurised job than Kerry after last year's defeat by Tyrone. And, you know, when an outgoing manager as Peter Keane was, didn't get the nod for that. Whoever was coming in was going to feel a little bit of heat. So from that point of view, Jack created a more relaxed atmosphere in the Kerry dressing room.
Just to wrap up, lads, Colm, something I wanted to ask you about. You referenced it in the piece in the Indo today, and it reminded me to ask you about it. You referenced the Declan Shaw interview that he did with us on the podcast with Rob last week, and it didn't divide opinion 50-50, but it certainly did divide opinion a little bit, I think, on the ground here in Mayo and on social media, where everything divides opinion all the time, over whether or not it was the right idea, whether or not he should have spoken to us. You made the point in the paper today, no issue with it. Good idea. Put your vision out there, put yourself out there. But just tied on to that, also a lot of debate over the various different backroom teams coming out into the public domain. At this stage, Ray Dempsey, we still don't know who his backroom team is. He's keeping that to himself. But obviously, Kevin McStays, Michael Solans and Declan Shaws are all out there. And I just love to get your thoughts on it. You're one of the most experienced, one of the best GAA journalists in the country. You're also a club member. You know, you get it. Like, how do you feel about the fact that we know three of the four backroom teams? We've heard from one of the candidates. Should they all have kept their powder dry, said nothing, heads down, or is it good? Is it refreshing? Should we have heard maybe from more of them in the lead up to the interviews?
I don't see any harm in this whatsoever, Mike. I have spoken and interviewed plenty of prospective candidates, including Jack O'Connor before last year's Kerry, before he was appointed in Kerry, where he says, yes, I'd like the job. And you know, a few words, not of particularly long, but confirming his interest and all of that. And even before there was a process, the Examiner podcast, he certainly referenced, even though he didn't completely commit or anything like that. But, you know, he made it known that it's a position of real interest. Plenty of managers or prospective managers make their case. They confirm that they're interested. They say why. It is absolutely no big deal here. I've seen it so often over the years, and I've spoken to guys, spoken to prospective managers who set out their vision publicly because there is a public interest in the management of any inter-county team, but primarily Mayo, where the support is so fervent. I mean, I mentioned at the outset, Kerry and Mayo. And for a managerial appointment like this, they're absolutely out on their own. You would not get this in Dublin. They do not talk about managerial appointments in Dublin or anywhere else for that matter. like they do in Kerry and Mayo. And as a point I made today, that's a good thing. And for Declan Shaw to come on and say, this is what I want to do, this is how I intend to go about it, this is what I can offer, and all of those two things, and give the Mayo public a little bit of insight into it. Ultimately, he has to repeat all of that in an interview room before 5 or 7 or whatever it's going to be. He's got to repeat all that, and he's probably got to repeat it a lot better too, because that's ultimately where it counts. If the others choose not to say anything, fine. How the backroom teams came out, I haven't seen Kevin McStay publicly confirm his. I haven't seen Mike Solon publicly confirm his, but we do know that they are correct, that they're right. And Declan Shaw has obviously revealed his. Ray Dempsey has chose not to, and that's fine by him too. I actually personally think it would help Ray Dempsey if he did. And obviously that could pull more of the public on his side if who is rumoured or speculated to be on his backroom team is. But I don't know, is that correct or the detail of that is right? I'm really not sure. But he's a strong candidate in his own right. So, and he's obviously, you know, he backs himself that he can go in there and, you know, reveal to the interview committee who that is. And that's his right. And that's the best way he feels he can go about it. So fine. But I don't see any issue. And that's why I'm a little bit bemused about the circus. The only element of circus to all of this is that it's going on a bit longer than it should have been. That's it. If this was a tighter process, it'd be fine. There are plenty of instances. And I'll go back to Kerry last year. The dream team, as it was known down there, Stephen Stack and indeed Donny Buckley was linked to that. That was put out into the public domain and pretty well known. A day or two before the appointment of Jack O'Connor was made, it emerged that Paddy Talley would be part of it. Now, that's one that Jack was probably keen to distance. Not that he didn't want people. He knew the sensitivities around the Tyrone man coming into Kerry and maybe wanted to keep that off the back pages, as it were, but it came out and Jack was happy to confirm it at that stage, even though he was head coach, he wasn't going to be officially a selector, but it became known that Mike Quirk and Dermot Murphy were going to be part of his team. In the final few days, there was no early declaration, but the Kerry process went a lot quicker than this is going. It took from Peter Keane's, from the defeat by Tyrone to the appointment of Jack O'Connor was about 5 or 6 weeks. 5 weeks, I would think. We're well past that stage in Mayo now.
Billy Joe, quick one for you before we finish. You're living, obviously, up in Armagh / Down. You're working in Meath. You're moving and shaking. God knows where you rock up sometimes during the week. What do football people you're talking to, what do they make of what's going on in Mayo, you know, where one day they're reading about somebody's backroom team, the next they're reading about what one candidate would like to do if he gets the job, and so on and so forth. All the plot lines, as we mentioned earlier. What do they make of Mayo GA 2022?
Well, I think they're a bit curious as well that it hasn't been boxed off at this stage, but I think there's been so much interest in, and particularly in that Kerry contest last year as well, of backroom teams and big personalities, big names, whether as ex-players or coaches being, you know, proposed or confirmed as being part of certain backroom teams. It's like nearly like the transfer market in England anymore. The news about who's going to be on certain team is actually more interesting than actually what will happen on the field. And I fear that that'll be the case, that all these people that are very interested in who'll be the Mayo manager now mightn't actually watch the first league game whenever that is, because that it feels like soccer's gone that way in England. But I think they're just waiting to see. I think that if you talk to people up here, you know, Mayo creates so many column inches. It's so much interest in it. It's nearly a national story, even though it's one county way out in the West Coast, and it probably gets more publicity than some other counties, and definitely then when you add in some of the big names that could possibly be involved in backroom teams. But I have to make this point, and I know I'm like a broken record here. For me, the most important role is the manager, and Jack O'Connor is a prime example of it. You know, he was the man that, as Colm rightly points out, set the tone in the Kerry dressing room. He was very relaxed, that maybe paid off when they were under severe pressure in All-Ireland final, and in the last 10-15 minutes they were able to see it out. He was the man that decided he needed somebody like Paddy Talley or Mike Quirk or Jim Murphy. It's about having that person with the overall vision. So sometimes I think that people should put less weight into who they hear as being in a backroom team and more weight in who's going to actually be the boss.
Yeah, good point. And just for the record, I know Rob said this last week, but just before anybody jumps onto the Mayo GA blog or jumps onto Twitter, we did ask all four of the candidates if they would like to come on the podcast and have a chat with us before the interview. Three politely declined and Declan Shaw accepted the offer. But rest assured, whoever gets the job, whenever the white smoke emerges from McHale Park, we will be back. Rob will be on the job looking to get that interview with the new Mayo manager, and hopefully we'll get to bring it to you before we sit down for the Christmas dinner, maybe. That's the plan. Just to finish then, we talked a little earlier about the fact there are four candidates in for the job, and Colm made the point today in the paper that that's a really healthy situation to be in. Well, I had a quick look back just over the last decade or so to see how many people had gone for the job on various different occasions. Obviously, back in 2018, James Horne had a clear run after Michael Solon pulled out. In 2015, Stephen Rochford, he was the only nominee. In 2014, Noel Kennelly and Pat Holmes were the only people who went forward for interview. If you go back to 2010, three people nominated: James Horan, Tommy Lyons, the former Dublin manager, and Anthony McGarry. But here's one for you, Billy Joe. We're going to bring the curtain down on this one. You have to go back to 2005 for a proper bull run of a contest for the Mayo manager's job. I found an article that jogged my memory. Eight people nominated for the job. That list included, obviously, Mickey Moran, who eventually got the job. This was to succeed John Mahon, of course. I think that explains the stampede. Kieran Gallagher was in there. He actually went in to be a selector with Mickey. You had Liam Kearns, a Kerry man. You had Cross Malinas, All-Ireland club-winning manager, Tommy Jordan. You had Eamon Clark from Knockmore. You had the former Mayo footballer, Dennis Kearney. And you had the former Mayo hurler, Martin Trench. They were all in that eight-person list of nominees. Billy Joe, that must bring some memories back when you hear those names, and particularly when you hear Mickey Moran's name again.
It brings the memories back, but I'm just there thinking, I was a player at the time, and if you'd asked me to name the people that were in the running at the time, I would have struggled badly. But once when you did me the favour of listing out the names, yeah, it brought it all back. But yeah, Mickey Moran, and I suppose this Mickey Moran is a very good example of what I'm talking about. You know, his relationship with John Morrison and the way they ran that setup was very enjoyable. The two of those were in lockstep. You know, Kieran Gallagher then. He went in with them, and it was a group that worked very well together. So I think that's a good example of having a manager and a backroom team that know how they work together. And for me, that's very, very important. I suppose maybe we need to do a different podcast on what happened at the end of that year. But yeah,
that's a whole other podcast completely. Colm, last one for you, just to wrap up. How would they feel in Meath if they were signed up to a process like we're going through in Mayo? How would that go down with the Meath football supporters, do you think? How would they feel six weeks in?
They've had a few managerial scrapes themselves over the years. For a while, every proposal. In fact, the majority of proposals in Meath that the executive committee have made in recent years, whether it's to get rid of Andy McEntee and Seamus McEnany, both turned down, to retain Eamon O'Brien, who had taken them to a Leinster title, albeit one with an asterisk over it, and an All-Ireland semi-final in his 2 years, and it was rejected. So they were three high-profile. The delegates don't tend to do what the executive committees want them to do in Meath, so there's always a problem. I have to say, Colm O'Rourke's appointment was pretty universally well-received all around. I haven't heard too many, if any, complaints at all. But they kept it very tight. There was a three-man committee. There were three interested parties, of which Colm O'Rourke was not one. They had the right to go outside that those expressions of interest, and they went, having interviewed the other three candidates, they decided, let's ask Colm O'Rourke, on the basis that they probably had some knowledge that if he was asked rather than enter the process himself, that he would do it. And that wrapped up very, very quickly. It pretty much follows. It follows the way that this is being conducted, only on a smaller scale. You know, you only have a three-person interview committee, and they recommend somebody to the executive, and the executive go and approve it. Then, thing is, they had the option to go outside the whoever had put themselves forward through expressions of interest. So that's how Colm arrived in the position. So, look, a lot less focus on what was happening in Meath, to be honest, than there ever would be in Mayo. But as I said today, that's no bad thing. It's far worse when people don't care. But people care in Mayo, and that's, as I said, that's a good thing.
Yeah, just the way you described it there, I can only imagine the Meath chairman pushing his dinner around the plate before he left for that county board meeting, wondering, will the delegates back me, or will we have a problem with the recommendation? I remember reading Manny's the article about Meath county board meetings, as you said there, around various different appointments or otherwise. It's nice to know other counties sometimes can make the headlines as well.
You talk about a circus. This was Duffy's and Fawcett's combined, and you can throw in a couple more. I just can't think of P.T. Barnum's as well. You can throw them all in together because you also had back-to-back county board meetings in Meath after the Leinster final in 2010 on the Monday and Tuesday night, or maybe there's a management meeting to decide about the Leinster final and whether a replay would be offered, and obviously that was shut down. Within a month or two, Eamon O'Brien was gone. He had been rejected. Even before that, Luke Dempsey's was the recommended candidate for Meath at one stage, and that was thrown back too. That didn't even get by the executive. So you talk about processes. That Mayo was okay by comparison to some of the other counties. It really is. There's plenty of history of counties just not getting this right at all, and Meath would be a real hot zone for that, I have to say. It was okay this time, and obviously the previous time, Andy McAtee, but around the turn of the last decade, 2010s, around that, they really couldn't get anything over the line.
It sounds like the operations manual might be needed, Colm and Meath. We'll drop you up a copy once we're done here. I'm gonna end with a paragraph from Colm's piece in today's paper that I think might be worth listening to if you're of course you are if you're listening to this podcast. If you're a diehard Mayo supporter, he said or he wrote, as ever it seems, the detail and scrutiny around the steps being taken and those involved is enormously high and very much in the public domain. People care, which is always much better than when they don't, as far too many counties can testify. And hear. So that's it. We're led to believe heading into the home straight in terms of appointing a Mayo senior manager. So hang in there. Mayo being Mayo, as we've talked about over the last while, you can be sure there are going to be a few more twists and turns in the story before we see that white smoke from McHale Park. But once we do, rest assured, we'll be here to tell you all about it on the podcast. Thanks for listening. My thanks to Billy Joe and Colm for their company. And we'll talk to you again soon.